Have you ever wondered what it's like to not exist? Not to sleep, not to dream, but to simply vanish from the universe for a while? After his third time under general anesthesia, neuroscientist Anil Seth found himself pondering this unsettling question. Unlike sleep, where your mind wanders through dreams, anesthesia creates something far stranger, a complete void where consciousness simply ceases. No time passes, no thoughts flicker, nothing exists. Then suddenly, you're back, as if someone flipped a switch. This jarring experience reveals one of science's most profound mysteries. How does 3 pounds of wet tissue generate the vivid, undeniable sensation of being you? We all know what consciousness feels like. It's the redness of red, the ache of loneliness, the taste of coffee on a Monday morning. Philosopher Thomas Nagel captured this perfectly when he asked, "What is it like to be a bat?" There's something it's like to be you, something it's like to be me, and presumably something it's like to be a bat navigating by echolocation. This something it's like quality is consciousness. For decades, philosophers obsessed over what David Chalmers dubbed the hard problem. Why does physical matter produce subjective experience at all? Why aren't we just sophisticated biological robots processing information without any inner life? But here's the thing. This question, while intellectually intriguing, doesn't actually help us understand consciousness. It's like asking why the universe exists rather than studying how galaxies form. Seth proposes something more useful, the real problem of consciousness. Instead of asking why consciousness exists in the first place, we should focus on explaining, predicting, and controlling its specific properties. How does activity in your visual cortex create the experience of seeing blue? Why do certain brain injuries eliminate self-awareness while leaving other mental functions intact? These questions have answers we can actually pursue. This shift mirrors how science has always progressed. We once thought life itself required a mysterious vital force that could never be explained mechanically. Now we understand reproduction, metabolism, and heredity through chemistry and physics without needing any special sauce. Consciousness may follow the same path, not by solving some cosmic riddle, but by patiently building explanatory bridges between brain mechanisms and subjective experience. How do you measure something as elusive as awareness? Researchers have developed tools to quantify consciousness, transforming it from philosophical speculation to life or death medicine. Consciousness and wakefulness aren't the same. During dreams, you're unconscious to the world, yet experiencing vivid adventures. Vegetative patients cycle through sleep-wake patterns, eyes opening and closing, yet nobody seems home. Italian neuroscientist Marcello Massimini discovered an elegant solution. He zaps one brain spot with magnetic stimulation and records how the signal spreads, like ringing a bell and listening to its echo. In unconscious states, the echo is simple and fades quickly. In conscious brains, the signal dances across regions in complex, sustained patterns. The implications are staggering. In 2006, a 23-year-old woman lay diagnosed as vegetative after a car accident. When asked to imagine playing tennis, then walking through her house, her brain lit up exactly like healthy volunteers. She was conscious, trapped inside an unresponsive body. Analysis suggests 10 to 20% of vegetative patients may retain hidden consciousness, potentially thousands worldwide, mistakenly believed absent. These discoveries transform diagnosis, restoring dignity and hope to families facing unimaginable circumstances. You've never experienced the world as it truly is. Sealed inside a dark skull, your brain receives only ambiguous electrical signals and constantly generates predictions about what's causing them. What you experience is the prediction itself, not raw data. The dress that broke the internet in 2015 proves this. The same image appeared blue-black to some, white-gold to others, because their brains made different predictions about lighting conditions. White paper appears white under both yellowish indoor light and bluish sunlight because your brain predicts the paper's properties rather than recording actual wavelengths. Two-tone images demonstrate this strikingly. Random black and white splotches suddenly reveal a Dalmatian once you've seen the original. The input hasn't changed, your predictions have. This reveals something profound. Even basic properties like color don't exist out there. When you see a red apple, the redness isn't in the apple. It's how your brain represents its prediction about reflected light. We're all living inside controlled hallucinations, constrained by the actual world, but not determined by it. Behind this controlled hallucination lies elegant mathematics. Bayesian reasoning formalizes how we update beliefs. Combine what you expected, your prior, with what you're sensing, the likelihood, to generate what you now believe, the posterior. These are probability distributions whose influence depends on their precision. In dim light, you rely on expectations because visual input is unreliable. In bright light, you trust your senses more. Expert radiologists spot subtle anomalies because their precise priors guide perception toward meaningful patterns. This framework dissolves the boundary between perception and action. We don't perceive, then think, then act in sequence. Instead, perception updates predictions to match sensory data, while action changes sensory data to match predictions, a process called active inference. When you reach for coffee, you're predicting movement's sensory consequences and adjusting based on discrepancies. Your brain isn't a passive receiver, but an active sculptor of experience, constantly generating hypotheses and testing them against reality. This explains why expectations shape wine tasting and pain perception, why placebos work, and why mood colors your world. Consciousness isn't about accurately mirroring reality. It's about constructing useful models that keep you alive. The self is a controlled hallucination, remarkably convincing, but surprisingly fragile. Selfhood comprises multiple layers. Embodied selfhood, owning your body, perspectival selfhood, your first-person viewpoint, volitional selfhood, controlling actions, narrative selfhood, weaving memories into stories, and social selfhood, how others perceive you. These elements unravel easily. The rubber hand illusion demonstrates this. When a rubber hand and your hidden real hand are stroked simultaneously, your brain predicts the rubber hand is yours. You'll flinch if threatened. Virtual reality can make you feel located in someone else's body entirely. Consider Clive Waring, whose brain damage destroyed his hippocampus, trapping him in a perpetual 30-second present. His diary repeats endlessly, "I am awake for the first time," crossed out moments later. Yet his body ownership and voluntary actions remain intact. He plays piano beautifully and loves his wife, though he can't remember her visiting minutes ago. This reveals something crucial. We don't perceive ourselves to know ourselves. We perceive ourselves to control ourselves. Your continuous identity is your brain's prediction about maintaining coherence, a hallucination so convincing it feels like fundamental truth. While exteroception senses the outside world, interoception perceives the body from within. Your heart, lungs, gut, and organs constantly stream signals to your brain, which makes Bayesian predictions about their causes. Emotions and moods are controlled hallucinations about your body's internal state. That flutter of anxiety before a presentation is your brain predicting your elevated heart rate and shallow breathing. The beast-machine theory proposes something radical. All perceptions are inside-out controlled hallucinations rooted in our biological drive to stay alive. Unlike Descartes' mind-body separation, consciousness emerges directly from our flesh-and-blood predictive machinery evolved to maintain physiological integrity. We feel stable because our brain predicts our physiological condition will remain within certain ranges and works to make that prediction true. This dissolves the hard problem by revealing the self as really existing as just another aspect of perceptual inference. Consciousness isn't some mysterious property added to matter. It's what it feels like from the inside to be a self-regulating living system. If consciousness emerges from biological regulation, how far does it extend? All mammals are almost certainly conscious, sharing similar brain structures. Yet their experiences differ dramatically. Mice navigate through whiskers, bats through echolocation, naked mole rats through smell. Each species' dominant sense shapes an utterly different inner universe. Then there are octopuses, consciousness as alien as we might encounter on Earth. Our last common ancestor lived 600 million years ago. With 500 million neurons distributed radically differently, 3/5 in its arms rather than centralized brain, an octopus might experience consciousness distributed across its nervous system, with each arm possessing autonomous awareness. But what about machines? Current AI systems are sophisticated pattern recognition engines performing functions without being conscious. The beast-machine theory suggests why. Consciousness evolved in living systems, where self-maintenance operates down to individual cells continuously regenerating their integrity. Even a human-like robot with predictive processing would likely lack consciousness. It lacks the deep biological drive toward physiological integrity that grounds our experience. Understanding consciousness places us within nature, not apart from it. You are not a ghost in a machine. You are the flesh itself, experiencing what it's like from the inside to be a living, self-regulating system. Every moment of awareness is your body's ongoing conversation with itself and the world.